Welcome into another edition of On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group, right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's News and Talk. You know what to do. Give us a call. Phone lines are open right now at 844-580-WDBO. That is 844-580-9326. My name is Chris Crawford. I am joined this week by Aaron Burt and Gary Abley of the Certified Financial Group. They are both Certified Financial Planner Professionals. And if you want to get in touch with them right now, express lines into their office, basically, 844-580-WDBO. That is 844-580-9326. Aaron, Gary, what kind of calls will we be taking on the show today?
Well, Gary and I are here today to answer any questions having to do with anything to do with your personal financial situation. Gary and I sit here with clients regularly during the week, Monday through Friday, when we talk to about things like mutual funds, retirement, cash flows, social security, long-term care. Today, our special topic is reverse mortgages. We also can talk about annuities, taxes, Medicare,
inflation,
Bitcoin. I mean, we're here and able to talk about anything that is on your financial mind. And as like the intro said, on Monday through Friday, we do this for a fee. But here on Saturday morning, we are here doing this for free. So if you're interested, please pick up the phone if you have any questions. Give us a call. And Chris, you want to give out those numbers again?
844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. And we actually do already have somebody on the line. We are going to chat with Pat, calling in from Deltona. Pat, welcome on the show. You're going to lead things off today.
Thank you.
Hey, Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
I have recently transferred my 401k into an IRA account with one of the investment firms. And I had it when I had the 401k, it was in a stable asset account.
Sure.
They want me to put my money into a deferred annuity for 3 years. I don't know anything about annuities, and my gut feeling is just to put it in a bank CD. And I'd like to know what your thoughts are about a fixed annuity. It's a fixed annuity for 3 years.
Sure. Let's cover one thing first. And Gary, you want to talk about what a stable value account is for our listeners who don't know what those are on a 401k plan?
Sure. So a stable value account is designed to be, well, stable. So it's designed not to lose money, similar to a money market account, but it typically will give you a guaranteed rate of return. Now, the annuity that you're looking at would be something that would pay out in 3 years or start to pay out in 3 years, and it sounds as though it would pay out at a fixed rate. But what I would want to know, Pat, is, you know, what is your age, if you don't mind sharing that?
Okay, I'm 76 years old. I am not married, and I have no children. I don't really need the money. I just need preservation.
Okay. So, you know, an interesting rule of thumb that we often talk about is 110 less your age being a minimum amount you would still want to have for some growth. Now, you mentioned you don't need the money. A question I might have is, do you have a long-term care policy in place, long-term care insurance policy in place?
No, I do not.
Okay. So sometimes folks say, well, Gary, I don't need this money to live on. And then I say, well, what happens if you needed home health care and you wanted to age in place and stay in your home and not go into a nursing home? Sometimes that can really, you know, eat up those funds that you weren't otherwise expecting to pay. So we typically would suggest, even for our conservative and moderately conservative clients, to have some element, right, of equities. And what would you say, Aaron, in terms of the percentage? Typically.
Well, my thought goes to, I'm assuming you're on Social Security, and do you have some sort of pension that's also helping to support you?
Yeah, a little bit.
So the Social Security normally has a little cost of living adjustment to it. The pension most likely doesn't, unless it's a state or government type pension. So my concern would be cash flow going forward.
Right.
And with what we're seeing with inflation and the prices of things going up, that you need to make sure that your income or your assets keep pace with that inflation so that you don't start to have your standard of living deteriorate. And so the only way that can really happen is by trying to get your assets to continue to grow for you. And the only way to really do that is to have some sort of equity exposure. If you put your money into a CD right now, you're going to earn 0.5% to 1%, probably in a deferred annuity, you're probably getting 2.5%.
At best, yeah.
And the inflation rate just released this past week was 5%. So if you're in a 2.5% annuity and everything costs 5% more, you're basically 2.5% poorer. That's one way to put it.
And Pat, one of the things that really, well, frankly, it irritates the heck out of me is when I hear insurance agents talk about, you know, guaranteed rates of return. And, you know, I even sometimes you see these in the paper that, you know, there's a 5 or 6%, you know, guaranteed payout. And they are implying it's a rate of return. And really what it is, as Aaron said, it's maybe 2.5% return on your money, and then 3.5% return of your money. So primarily what the insurance company is doing is simply paying you back your money. And so we have to be careful. A lot of folks don't realize, but the last 50 years, the CPI, Consumer Price Index, has actually gone up close to 4%. When we do financial plans, most of the CFPs in our office use around 3% as the inflation, sort of the midpoint from what we've experienced over the last 50 years and versus what we've experienced over the last 10 years.
Right.
So I always believe that when anybody is proposing for you to put all of your retirement nest egg in one product, my antenna, it goes way up. Way up.
And it's time to get a second opinion.
Exactly.
Which is what we do. So, and we'd be happy to sit down with you, talk about your situation. If you want to call the office on Monday, speak with either Gary or myself, we'll be happy to walk you through.
And I'm going
to
interrupt there and say, you know, it's on your mind right now. We have a CPA and a CFP in the office.
Good point.
That's taking calls. His name is Rodney Owenby, and I'm going to give you his number. That number is 407-869-9800. And incidentally, you know, oftentimes people are reluctant to call into a, you know, a public radio show like this because they don't want to go into real personal details. And so we typically have somebody sitting by at the office that can handle those personal questions. So again, 407-869-9800. His name is Rodney Owenby, and he'd be happy to continue that dialogue with you if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. And for anybody else that doesn't want to take the calls on air, Rodney is in the office taking calls, so feel free to give him a call anytime during the show. He'll be available. And if he doesn't answer, please leave a message. He'll call you right back. So we really appreciate the call, Pat.
Thank you, Pat. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Pat. And if you don't want to call in the office, you want to jump on the air live right now, we've got open phone lines, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. You can go ahead and give us a call live right now, 844-580-WDBO. What we're going to do right now is break for the three big things you need to know. And then when we come back, we are going to talk with Khan. He's calling in from right here in Orlando, and he's got a capital gains question. So go ahead and give us a call in the meantime, 844-580-WDBO. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With the Certified Financial Group on WDBO. Hey, welcome back to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580 Orlando's News and Talk. You want to get in touch, you can, 844-580-WDBO or 844-580-9326. You can go ahead and give us a call. Join us live, 844-580-WDBO. Let's go ahead and talk with Khan calling in from Orlando.
Hey, Khan.
Good morning.
Hello, good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. What can we do for you?
Yes, I have a question. My wife just sold her home, and she's going to be moving into my home. And she have a few questions that she wanted to ask you guys. Number one, she has been living there for the past 4 years, and she wants to know if she have to pay tax on the capital gain that she had on her home.
So the answer, Khan, is that depends, of course, on the gain. So given that you are a married couple, you can exclude up to $500,000 of gain. So, for example, if the home sold for less than $500,000, we know, of course, there wouldn't be any gain. What was the gain under $500,000?
Yeah, sure. It was about $100,000.
Are you recently married, or have you been married for a while?
No, you've been married for a while.
Yes, so then, okay. So you're good with the $500,000, but I think what where Aaron was headed with that, For a single individual, the amount is $250,000 that you can exclude. But you are good to go. The old tax laws would say you'd have to buy a home greater than the price of the old home. That's all gone. So for single folks, you can exclude $250,000 of gain. For married folks, you can exclude $500,000 in gain. And incidentally, our listeners, and this isn't really pertaining to you, Con, but our listeners may be interested to know, because I had to research it just recently. Unfortunately, I had a client that lost his spouse, and they didn't want to just immediately sell the home.
Right.
And so they did happen to have a gain of, looks like right at $500,000. And so now that he's single, he asked me, do I get the 250 or 500? And the rule on that is you actually have 2 years from date of death to sell that home to be able to still use the $500,000
amount. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so then after that, of course, if you go beyond the 2 years, it drops down to 250.
Okay.
And so that's pretty good motivation.
Yeah.
Of course, nice home prices are good motivations to sell right now. Can you get over these prices? Crazy.
It's crazy.
Well, did we answer your question, Con? Do you have any other questions?
Yeah, one other question that she wanted to know is when she fills her tax in next year. She already did this for this year. When she fills it next year, does she have to put that money as an income?
Well, she'll actually record it as a sale on the home, and then she'll record her basis, her cost factor of the home. In other words, whatever she paid for the home plus all improvements that she's had over the year. For example, if she put on a new roof and did improvements, added on or put in a brick paver driveway, et cetera, then she'll calculate the gain, and then she'll show that the gain is less than the $500,000, and then it'll be non-taxable.
Right.
You do have to, because the closing agent will issue what's called a 1099 S form. So look for that in the mail, and it shows the gross sales price of the home. And if you don't report the sale with the IRS, I actually have a nasty gram from the IRS from one of my clients because they didn't fill out the sale of the principal residence form, and the IRS will assume that all of it is gain,
right,
and send you a nasty gram with lots of...
They want money.
Yeah, so you definitely need to fill out a form for that. And if you want more information on the specific form, Rodney in our office at 407-869-9800, he can walk you through that form as he's also a CPA.
Yeah, so once she fills out that form... would she be owing any money?
No, not at all.
Assuming it's less than $500,000.
Yeah, not related to the sale of the house, correct.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. All right, guys, thanks a lot. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Con. Appreciate that call. Phone lines open, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. We got about 4 minutes here until the break, so I do want to touch on two things here. First off, sure, I want to talk about Score My Funds, and then also a little bit, if you have time, let's talk a little about this Countdown to Retirement workshop that's coming up Saturday, June 26th as well, because those are both going to be two very exciting things. And Score My Funds always going on.
Yeah, so Score My Funds is a website that we launched because one of the questions we get a lot of times from our client or from prospects or from callers on the air are, what's the quality of the investments that I have in my portfolio? And so we created Score My Funds. The website's actually scoremyfunds.com as a way for people to go in, put in the ticker symbols to their mutual funds or ETFs. We don't do individual stocks, but mutual funds and ETFs. Enter those ticker symbols right into the website, and then we'll generate a report back to you telling you, using our scoring system, of the quality of the investments that you have. And our scoring system looks at 11 distinct criteria, and we grade all the investments against their peers, and we come up with a score from 0 to 100, with 0 being the best and 100 being the worst. And we provide that score back to whoever enters that so that they can know the quality of the investments that they hold in their portfolio.
And Aaron, I just want to interject something.
Yep.
It's actually not our score. And it's important to know one of the three things we deliver to our clients each quarter is this fiduciary scorecard from the Center for Fiduciary Studies. We're not affiliated with them in any way. And it's really our clients' way of being able to thumb through the different scores. They range from 0 being the best score to 100 being the worst. So think golf, the lower the score, the better. It's color-coded. So a client can quickly look at that and honestly see, that their fiduciary, their advisor, is doing their job.
Exactly.
So we really like that. And this also will provide those who aren't working with us an idea on how their funds are scoring.
Right. And there's usually a 24 to 48 hour turnaround time on that. It's not an instant score report back, because we do have some work on our back end that we do to enter the funds into the system and generate the reports. But we will get back to you in a timely manner. And again, it's scoremyfunds.com. Again, you could just go in there, enter your ticker symbols and your email address, so we know where to send those reports back to.
And it's free. And it's free, which is the best part.
No cost at all.
And Chris, thanks for bringing up the workshop coming up on June 26th. It is in our office from 9 to 11, so it is live in our office, face-to-face, thank goodness, because I'm tired of doing the Zoom ones. It's just, you know, it's so much better when you can take... which is hard to do over a medium like Zoom. But in that workshop, it's really geared for people who are, say, 2 to 3 years away from retirement, and we touch on topics such as, when should I take Social Security? What about health care? I need to understand a little bit about what health care is going to cost me in retirement. What are the Medicare ABCs? Mm-hmm. Is this the time to be thinking of long-term care insurance? What strategies do we have to minimize taxes in retirement? You know, we're real fond of saying it's not what you make, it's what you keep, right? And so, unfortunately, we see people have a withdrawal strategy that isn't so tax efficient. Perhaps they're taking all their money out of a retirement account where they could do a blend from maybe a Roth in a regular retirement account or maybe a brokerage account in a retirement account. So we talk about strategies for avoiding what we call sequencing of returns risk, and that occurs when you have an early bear market in retirement. And then we talk about estate planning documents that you should have in place prior to retiring. So it's a checklist that you can take with you, and I think it's very useful. And you register on our site.
Financialgroup.com under events is where you sign up for those seminars.
Financialgroup.com and then scoremyfunds.com as well. Hey, we got plenty more show on the way. Phone lines are open, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With the Certified Financial Group on WDBO. And welcome back to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group right here on WDBO 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's News and Talk. The number to call right now is 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. All you got to do is call in and briefly describe your question. We'll get you lined up on air with Certified Financial Professional Planners. You can call us right now, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. Let's go back to Aaron and Gary, and we're going to join them with Ron calling in from Orlando.
Hey, Ron.
Hi, Ron.
I have a question. If you're a married couple came to Orlando many years ago, let's say 1970, bought a piece of property, maybe for a lakefront or something like that, didn't do anything with it, kept that property all of those years, et cetera, and your wife dies at, let's say, 2015, you know, do you get the, and you want to sell the property, do you get the pickup and basis for half the price of the property, or do you go all the way back to 1970 when the property was purchased originally?
So it was jointly owned property that you and your wife purchased back in the 70s.
Right. In 1970.
Yeah, they would get a step up on half of the basis.
I'm still alive. No, I'm still alive. I have,
well, you sound good.
Yeah. I hope so.
I'm still alive. I'm doing pretty well.
Good.
And
so,
I can, if I sell the property now... That's fine. If I don't sell the property and or just keep it until I die, what happens to the basis now as far as capital gains is concerned and as far as my heirs are concerned?
Sure.
I would have the day that I, let's say that I die next year.
Got it. Well, on the first piece.
And I still own the property.
To answer your first question, you would have received a step up in half of the basis at your wife's passing?
In 2015. So you would look at what the fair market value of the property was in 2015, and you would take half of that value and add it to half of what you paid originally for the property. But again, you can add improvements. So let's say, you know, I'm not sure if this is farmland or what, but if you put in a expensive fence around your property.
Or a well, or a well, utilities, or a road, something like that.
And then the taxes you paid on the property, if they weren't prior deducted on your return, could also be added to the basis in your property. So first thing is to calculate the basis, and then but you would get a step up in half. Now your question is, if you hold the property and you die next year, and your heirs get that property, then they, under the current law, of course, this is what's being discussed right now,
right,
but under the current law, they would get a step up in basis to fair market value on the date of death or 6 months later, whichever would be higher would be the amount that they would take. Now,
right,
that is something that the Biden administration is looking at potentially changing, so you want to stay tuned to the news on that. It doesn't look like they've got the votes to...
No, I don't think they do either. But
I have another option. What if I build a house on there and I live in it for 2 years?
Beautiful. I love it.
I think that's what you should do.
I think that's not a bad option, but try to find a builder who'll get it done in 2 years right now with this economy. That is a good, and a lot of folks will do that, is they will make that property their primary residence, and then you can exclude, in your case, up to $250,000 of the gain because you're single.
Let me ask you a while. If you put a manufactured home on the house, would that count for a...
If it's your principal residence.
And you lived in it for
you do have restrictions, especially if it's a lakefront property.
Sure.
Well, yeah, right. You have zoning restrictions. But Aaron was just kind of hypothesizing if you could put a mobile home on it.
Right. Or a real nice Airstream or something.
Right. All right, now we're getting creative. So,
a good tent.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure I had my figures straight. I just thought I'd call in and ask a question that might be valuable to other people.
Yep, you're thinking properly. Your thought process is correct there.
And if the gain is more than $250,000, consider getting married and turning it into your principal residence. You're never too old to get married, right?
No, but when you had one of God's angels as a wife, you're not looking in to do that.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Understood.
Well, I hope she heard that. So, well, thank you so much for calling.
We appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Have a great weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you, Ron. Appreciate that call. If you want to join us here, 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. Let's go to Auburndale. We're going to have a chat with Phil. Phil, welcome to the show.
Hello, Phil.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Can you hear me good?
Absolutely. What's going on?
I had a couple questions along the same lines that you've been talking about the capital gains.
Okay.
My wife passed away like 2 months ago.
I'm sorry for your loss.
I bought this home about 10 years ago when it was down, the depression was down, and I got it for like $90,000.
Okay.
I would say right now the home is easily worth $200,000 because I've made a lot of improvement to it. And you mentioned that 2 year thing. So I was thinking,
well, Phil, in your case, don't worry about the 2 year thing because being single, you can exclude up to $250,000 of the gain. So there's really no hurry for you to sell that property. You paid $90,000 for it, and I think you said it was worth a little over $200,000. So you're not going to have the $250,000 gain.
Oh, right.
So you don't have to worry about that.
I don't have to worry about the $250,000 because I got the $90,000 coming out of it.
Exactly.
Correct. Yep. Plus the improvements that you put on it.
Right.
I did quite a bit of improvements. I did a Florida room on the back and a screw room on the front.
That's definitely could add to the basis.
What percentage is capital gains? Is that a big factor?
Well, typically for most taxpayers, long-term capital gains rate will be your tax rate if it's below 15% or 15%. Now, there is discussion if the capital gains, again, this is not law, but if the capital gains exceeds a certain amount, and numbers have been thrown around of $400,000 that they would have that taxed at a much higher rate.
Right.
But in general, for most taxpayers today, the capital gains rate is between, say, 15% and 20%,
right,
depending on your income. So, you know, if you're retired, for most retired people, unless they have a really large pension, the rate is 15%.
It's usually 15%.
But you know, let me just, this is a, you're giving me something great to share with our listeners, Phil. And that is, if you have a stock, for example, and you have a gain in it, let's say you own Apple and you've got a gain of $30,000 in it, and you're a married couple and your other income is, say, $60,000, maybe just from Social Security, you could actually sell Apple stock today, buy it back today. Today we're a weekday,
right,
anyway. And you could incur that gain and reset your cost basis in that and pay zero income tax. Currently, the long-term capital gains rate for people in the 10 or 12% bracket is zero.
Right.
So we encourage people to take advantage of that. Look at the stocks or mutual funds that you own and reset that cost factor higher, right? So that later on, if we get a bear market, now you potentially could sell it and create a loss to offset some,
sure,
income. So, but anyway, the normal answer to your question, Phil, is 15% for most taxpayers.
It's a good rule, yeah, of thumb.
Well, yep.
Well, I'm 88 years old. I wasn't planning on selling the house, but when I heard the 2-year thing, I thought, God, maybe
no.
Get rid of,
yeah,
it.
No, you're good. You're
okay,
good. And if
you
were to,
much,
you're very welcome.
Sure. Thank you for the call. We really appreciate it.
And if Phil were to age in place and decide that is, you know, where he wants to be forever, then, of course, again, his heirs would get a step up in basis to fair market value, so they would pay no taxes on the gain.
Absolutely.
So,
all right, good stuff there, Phil. Appreciate that call. We've got more open lines here at 844-580-WDBO, 844-580-9326. You can go ahead, join us here live right now, 844-580-WDBO. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
The Certified Financial Group on WDBO. Welcome back to On the Money, presented by the Certified Financial Group, right here on WDBO, 107.3 FM and AM 580, Orlando's News and Talk. And real quick, we do have a couple callers that we'll close out the show with, but you have a little blood drive going on here that we should talk about before we close up shop.
We do. It's you can go to our website at financialgroup.com and click on the events button, and it's actually June 21st from 10 o'clock to 3 o'clock. We have some open appointments, so please help give some blood.
Head to the phone lines here, and we are going to talk with John. John is calling in from right here in Orlando. John, welcome onto the show.
Good morning.
Hey, John.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. What can we do for you?
Well, my wife and I started a business probably 14, 15 years ago, and it's privately held. We capitalized. It is an S-Corp. And we started it with 100 shares at $1 a share.
Okay.
Now the company is worth considerably more. Now we do have income and we do have expenses, but even with that, the business is worth considerably more than the original $100. If
All right.
we were to pass away and pass it on to our children, is it like a home where there's a stepped up value under today's laws? We know things may change.
Well, actually, it's a complicated question because it really depends on how that business is ultimately sold. And that's when you want to have a good tax consultant working for you whenever you sell, whether it's an S Corp, C Corp, an LLC, doesn't matter. How a deal is structured will affect how it's taxed to your heirs, whether it's going to be taxed mm-hmm. as maybe depreciation recapture in your business would be taxed as ordinary income. So it's not like a step up in basis in a home. It's just not that simple. Selling a business has very complicated tax implications. So I would recommend that you consult. Now, obviously, if you're leaving it upon death, you're not going to be consulting, but you could talk with a CPA now about ways to assist your heirs in structuring a deal so that something is more favorable to them.
And one of the challenges that we see now, and it's not really an issue right now, is with the estate taxes, is that if they drop that estate tax limit and your business turns out to be worth more than that, then your children have a liquidity issue and a tax issue with a business that's probably not very liquid, and then how do they end up paying the estate taxes on that? So that's something that you really need to do some advanced planning on if you have a closely held business that you intend to pass on to your children at some point in the future, especially if the estate tax laws change.
Yeah, so it would be like selling it. We couldn't put it in our trust, so it wouldn't be like a house where you just pass it on to them with a stepped-up value.
Correct. And, I mean, you certainly could put your business in a trust, but I'm not sure that there is an advantage necessarily of doing that. So what, I mean, give us a flavor for what you think the market value of the business is.
Well, based on, and when we calculated, we said 3 years' worth of income profit, per se.
Sure.
And we do about $4.5 million a year, and net is about, over a three-year period, is a little over $6 million. So I don't know if they calculate that on 1 year or they calculate it on 3 years. It seems like most of the companies out there that are buying up little firms like mine base it on 3 years' worth of income, net profits, which would be about $6 million.
All subject to negotiation, right, between the buyer and seller. Oftentimes, the most recent year is weighted, you know, maybe 50%. The prior 2 years weighted 25, 25. You see that a lot. So because of that valuation, you probably do want to talk with, a tax expert, a CPA, or even potentially an attorney for estate planning, because there is discussion about lowering the unified estate in gift tax exclusion amount.
Right.
You know, currently it's $22 million for a couple.
Very high.
Yeah, but there's the potential to see that go down to $3 to $6 million, and then a lot of us could be affected.
Right.
Yes. So, well, thank you for the call. I wish we could give you a more detailed answer, but it's selling a business is a lot more complicated.
And I will point out that if you want to continue the discussion, we do have Rodney in our office, who is a CFP and a CPA, can probably get a little bit more in depth with you. And he's in the office if you want to call him at 407-869-9800, and he'll be there taking calls for a little while longer. So,
all right, thank you, John. Real quick, let's go to Vim. He's going to close up shop here. Vim calling in from Orlando. Go ahead, Vim.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Question I had it on capital gain we were discussing earlier.
Sure.
Is it applied to rental property also?
You do not get to exclude the $250,000 or $500,000 on rental property. That's only your personal residence. But for rental property, still under current law, although this is being discussed as a potential change, you could do a exchange of one property for another,
right,
to defer the gain into the next property.
And that's called a 1031
exchange. 1031 exchange.
Right.
There are specific rules, and you have to use a qualified intermediary. You, this isn't something you do on your own. But if you're wanting to get rid of one property in favor of another, that is a way to defer the gain. You don't eliminate it. You're just deferring it into the new property.
Right.
I got you. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate it.
Thank you for
Absolutely.
The call.
Thank you for the call.
We do want to touch real briefly. You know, we had one question earlier from Pat, and she doesn't have long-term care insurance. And I just wanted to point out that we have a white paper, because we didn't get to the topic. We had a lot of calls today on reverse mortgages. And anybody who's listening who really tuned in because they thought we were going to get to reverse mortgages, we'd be happy to send you that white paper if you call our office on Monday.
Or shoot us an email at plan@financialgroup.com. Put reverse mortgage in the subject line. We'll respond back and send you the white paper as well.
Or you can call that office up as well, 407-869-9800 or 1-800-EXECUTE, as if you are executing a financial plan. Appreciate everyone tuning in again this week. We will be back same time, same place next week. We're planning tomorrow.
Today.
With a Certified Financial Group on WDBO.